Well, we're going to talk about my favorite subject tonight. You say, what's that? The Word of God. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I want us to look where we left off last week and pick up there. Verse number 12. So if you would please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 12, or verse chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him. Now, look, notice this last phrase, with whom we have to do. And that's an interesting phrase. We'll get to it in just a second. Father, I just pray You'd glorify Yourself and speak to our hearts tonight by Your Word, through Your Word. And Father, we know that we're absolutely dependent upon Your Holy Spirit to reveal Your Word. So, Father, glorify Yourself and how You take this passage and use it in our life in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. You may be seated. Well, I am passionate about the Word of God. I believe that it's to be the centerpiece of everything that takes place. I don't counsel, but by the Word of God, that's all I use to counsel. Everything a ministry is to be centered and absolutely comes out of the Word of God. And the Word of God is essential to everything. Now, when we come to this passage here, here's what you find. You find the first word of this verse in verse 12 is four. Now, if you see that word, remember what happens. That means it's connecting back. So what is he saying here? Well, he's connecting back, staying in context of what he's already said. Now, what did he already said? He said, listen, he said, make sure you hear the voice of God, lest a promise be left you and you do not enter into His rest. So in other words, the thrust of chapter 3 and first part of chapter 4 was this rest in which we talked about for 3 or 4 weeks now. And the whole thing that hinges on you and I entering into that rest is we hear and we obey the voice of God. We have to trust His voice. We have to trust His Word. We have to trust what He says, because listen, what He says speaks of His character and His nature, and I promise you, you can trust the character and nature of God. And so this is the premise behind these two verses. Because listen, you will never ever rest in what God has for us and what God has for you if you do not allow yourself to be engrossed in the Word of God. Because God speaks through His Word. And His Word is how God sanctifies us. His Word is how God guides us. His Word is how God lets us see who He is and see who we are. And that's all these two verses are dealing with. Now, I want you to look at a couple of things with me tonight concerning these two verses. The first thing is the attributes of divine revelation. The attributes of divine revelation. Verse 12 gives us these attributes concerning the Word of God, the revelation of God to man. And the first one we find here is the principle of the Word. Now, in the English, it doesn't read as it does in the original language, and let me explain what I mean. If you look at verse 12, it says, for the Word of God is quick. Y'all see that word quick? All right, here's what that word means in the original. It means is alive, is living. And in the Greek, here's the way it reads. It reads the living Word of God. And so in other words, what we need to understand is the principle of the Word is this, that the Word is not something dormant. The Word is something that's alive. It's a living Word. Now you say, why is this important? Because what took place with Israel is they allowed the law to be something that literally brought forth death or became something that was dormant in them or became a code of conduct instead of something that lived in and through them. In other words, the Word The word here is logos, and it says the logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. So can I tell you something? The word, when you and I come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that you receive Christ, receiving Christ, you receive the incarnate word, and then you, by the Holy Spirit, you have a revelation of that word. And guess what? The word, Christ in you, wants to live through you, and therefore the word is a living word. It's not black ink on white paper. It's not a book that we hold in our hands. The Word of God is a living Word that should permeate and live through you once it gets in you. So the Word of God, the principle, is it's a living Word. And this is what the writer of Hebrews begins with here. Now, listen to some verses. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words Jesus said that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So in other words, what Jesus had to say, he said, these are the things of life. Now, I'm not very smart, but if Jesus says, life is in what he says, then can I tell you something? Anything outside of what he says is not life, but death. You see, your spiritual life and my spiritual life is absolutely hinged on how much this word gets in us. Now, again, I say this all the time, but I'm just dealing with the text. And you wonder why I'm so passionate about people being under the Word. I mean, because the Word is so paramount to the Christian life. I mean, listen, folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. We live in a day today that people are trying to invent ways to get out from under the Word. I mean, we're doing away with services. I mean, I'm talking in America. Churches, I mean, they're doing away with services right and left, and they're saying, well, people need more family time. Well, I got news for you. God intended the church to be a family thing. I mean, the greatest family time you can have is sitting under the Word of God. And so the Word is the words of life. It's the essence of life. It's all pictures Christ and His life, because listen, this Word, when it gets in you, the life of the Lord Jesus will get it out of you. And it'll start becoming reality in your life. So in other words, this is not some dormant code of ethics or some dormant code of performance. No. This is a living word that God wants to manifest, this word in and through your lives, moment by moment, day by day. So what he's saying here, now remember, the rest that we've talked about these last few weeks is the life of Christ that he gives us, and you and I can walk in the sufficiency of that life. That's the rest. Well, if the Lord is the Logos made flesh, then guess what? If I'm not giving myself to the Word, which is living, then how am I ever going to enjoy the rest that he has for me? I mean, this is the absolute principle of the Word. Now, there's other passages you could go to, and I'm not going to read those passages, but Acts 7, verse 38, Paul calls it the living oracles of God. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I mean, listen, many times he would refer to this Word as a living, living Word. So this is the principle in which the writer of Hebrews is dealing with here. So he's saying to these Hebrew believers, he said, listen to the voice of God. Hearken to the voice of God. Don't harden your hearts, because the voice of God is a living word. Well, notice secondly, not only the principle of the word, but the perfection of the word. Notice what he says here. He says, for the word of God is quick or living. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Well, simply this. The Word is divine revelation. Now, I'm old-fashioned and I don't apologize about it. I believe the Word is the inerrant, inspired, and infallible Word of God. I believe it's God-breathed. I don't believe there's one mistake in the original language. I don't believe there's one mistake in the Word of God. All right, now listen. So it's perfect in what? In whatever it intends to do. You see, the thing is, because it's His divine revelation, it's perfect in everything. It's perfect in how it was given. It's perfect in how it is laid out. It's perfect in what it says. But let me tell you something else. It's perfect in what it exposes. Can I tell you, the Word exposes our professions, whether they're real or not. The Word exposes our life, whether we're walking in unity to it or not. I mean, the Word is perfect in everything that God intended it to be. What the writer of Hebrews is saying here is if you hearken unto the voice of God and you don't harden your hearts towards the Word, then God will work His perfect work in you and in me. Now, let me ask you a question. It's a very simple question. What do you want God to do in you? Now, I don't want you to answer that out loud, but here, think about it a minute. What do you desire for God to do in you? Well, whatever it is you desire for God to do in you, assuming it's a biblical desire, y'all say amen. It is only through the Word that you're ever going to come to the reality of those. You see, the Word and the Word is perfect. Why? Because it's the divine revelation of God. It is God that gave it. It is God that breathed it. Now, here's the thing. Look with me, if you will, real quick, at Psalm chapter 19. Look at verse 7, Psalm chapter 19. Listen to what the psalmist said. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Listen to all the things the Word of God does. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, being the Word, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is he greatly rewarded." So you tell me how important the Word is to our moment by moment, day by day life. So does it make sense to you now why the one thing the enemy will keep you from? Because, listen, the greatest tool our enemy uses, are you ready? Is busyness. And see, the thing that I want us to grab a hold of, and what I believe the writer of Hebrews here is trying to get across to these Hebrew believers concerning living in this rest by hearkening unto the voice of God, is this. Of all the things that we give ourselves to on a day-to-day basis, of everything we do on a day-to-day basis, hey, there's many of those things that are important. There's many of those things we have to, because listen, you have to work to eat. I mean, there's many of those things that you and I have to give ourselves to. But can I tell you something? There is nothing, nothing, nothing more important in your day-to-day activity than the Word of God. And if you think there is something more important, I want to tell you something. You really need to ask the Lord to help you. You see, the enemy, our flesh, will do everything to pull us away from giving intimate time to the Word of God. And that's the reason you're seeing what we're seeing in our country. That's the reason you're seeing people that no longer preach the Word as God intended it to be. Now they try to make the Word more palatable. I hear that term all the time. We need to make it more palatable. I've got news for you. I don't have to make it palatable because only the Spirit of God can reveal it to people anyway. It don't matter how much I dumb it down, so to speak, or it don't matter how much I lift it up, so to speak, if the Spirit of God don't reveal it, I don't care how simple you make it or how deep you make it, nobody's going to get it. And so we've come down to this road in America where we think we've got to alter it. I hear this all the time. We got to make it more culturally relevant. I got news for you. The Word of God's perfect just as it is. I don't have to make it culturally relevant. You know why? Because God did, listen, there's not one thing you'll ever go through in your life that God don't deal with either in principle or actual verse in the Word of God. I mean, it's perfect for our culture. The problem is we don't like what it says, so we got to change it because we want to make it to where we can accept it. You see, it's the perfect Word of God because it's the divine revelation of God. It's His Word, not ours. But notice the power of the Word. He says not only is the Word of God quick, it says and powerful. Now, here's the thing. This word powerful is a little different word. A lot of times when you see the word power, you think of the Greek word dunamos, means great power or dynamite power. But here the word means to energize. And here's what it's saying. The Word of God is life, but the Word of God is active. And that's what this word power means. The Word of God is always active. Let me tell you something. If you're saved today, the Word of God's always active in your life. It's always working in you. And it's always working on you. You say, why is that? Because the Spirit of God is alive in you if you're saved. And the Spirit of God is always drawing you to truth, revealing truth, reminding truth, convicting of truth, enabling to obey truth. And so in other words, the Word of God is alive. But can I tell you something? You can have something alive but not active. But the Word of God is alive and active. How many times in your life have you had your quiet time and God gives you a word? And that day something happens in your life that word absolutely was God's help for you that day. What does that say to you? It's active. What makes it active? Well, it's the living Word. And the Spirit of God knows your tomorrows. The Spirit of God knows your hours of the day. The Spirit of God knows everything. And when we give ourselves under His control and under His guidance and under His leadership and under His Word, have you ever thought that's the Spirit of God that knows what's going to happen to you today or what's going to happen to you tomorrow? Hey, maybe He'll be just ready to just give you a word that'll be a help to you for that. But if I don't give myself to it, now it happens. I don't have a word. You see, the Word of God is active. It's an active word that's working in our life. It's not dormant. It's alive, but it's active. Now, notice the precision of the word. He uses a term here that draws from the culture of that day, sharper than a two-edged sword. Now remember, the spiritual warfare, the whole armor. All right, what's the only weapon in the whole armor of God? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. What did the Lord Jesus use when He was tempted in the wilderness? Word of God. So what is it saying here, sharper than a two-edged sword? Let me give you an illustration. I think you'll help you understand it. Our docs here will affirm this. If you're doing surgery, now, how many agree? You go into surgery and you have to have a scalpel. How many agree? You got to be precise. In other words, you cut the wrong place, you're in tribber. Y'all say amen. So what makes that scalpel allow that doctor to be so precise? It has to be sharp. It has to be sharp as sharp can be. You see, the culture of that day was this. The most powerful weapon they had in that day was a double-edged, sharp sword. And so the picture here is the Spirit of God, who's the only one that can reveal the Word of God. He is the sword of the Spirit. He takes the Word of God, enables and equips us, and now He gives us now defense. He gives us now a weapon to fight in the battles of our life, because Jesus, remember, Jesus is all that stuff for us. But the Word is what the Spirit of God uses in our life to be able to deal with the day-to-day things in our life. And so the picture here is the Word as a sharp two-edged sword is a precise thing. And listen, it'll cut through the false profession. It'll strip away natural tendencies of the flesh. It'll deal with true spirituality versus false spirituality. It'll deal with pride. It'll deal with haughtiness. It'll deal with bitterness. It'll deal with unforgiveness. It'll deal with everything God intends it to do. And it'll be on mark every single time. And it never, ever misses the mark. I promise you, you'll never claim malpractice with the Word of God. Well, that cuts your insurance premiums in half, wouldn't it, Doc? The Word of God is precise. Now, notice the penetration of the Word. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I thought that we were in other words, body, soul, and spirit. Why did he just use the word soul and spirit? Because when the Word deals with your spirit, it'll deal with your soul. Remember what your soul is, your mind, motion, and will. So when the Lord deals with your spirit, the Lord will deal with your soul. And when the Lord deals with your soul, guess what? The body will just come along. So what is this talking about? Dividing asunder. Here's what it means. That it literally penetrates all the way through your whole being. Now you say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He says that you may be sanctified holy, body, soul, spirit. But actually it reads this way, that you may be sanctified holy, spirit, soul, body. Now, why does he use spirit, soul, body? Why does he use that order? Because it's like I said, when he does a work in your spirit, your mind, motion, and will be affected. And when your mind, motion, and will are affected, guess what? Your body comes along. And so here's the picture. The Word of God begins to penetrate first into the place where your communion and your intimacy and your worship is, your spirit. This deals with areas like grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. Because how many agree, if I'm grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit, I can't have intimacy with Him as I need to. I can't worship Him as I need to. So what does the Word of God do? The Word of God targets the place in your life where your intimacy comes from, where your fellowship with God comes from, where your worship comes from. I mean, the Word of God begins to penetrate those places in your life first. Why? Because until those places are dealt with, then the other, your soul, your mind, motion, and will never, ever be dealt with. But then when that's dealt with, here's what happens. The Word now begins to deal with the way you think. Now, let me ask you a question. How many agree that feelings can be very deceptive? So what's my hope in that? That's your emotion. Well, how many agree the Word of God can deal with that too? See, here's something that is especially ladies, but even us men deal with. Because feelings, a lot of times people are built upon feelings. And feelings can be deceptive. And so what the Word of God does is the Word of God begins to deal with the way you think. And as He deals with the way you think, then all of a sudden, guess what? Your feelings now become focused on the facts of what God says instead of the feelings of what your flesh thinks. See, one of the things that keeps a lot of people in trouble is they like to figure things out. Let me tell you something. If you think you have the answers, you're in trouble. Y'all say amen. Because that's where your feelings come in. Because your feelings will do things like this. Well, I don't know what she meant by that. But if she meant what I think she meant, she says something like that again, I'm going to let her know it. When in reality, it may not be what she said at all. But how many agree? Your feelings. You ever heard this term? They wear their feelings on their... Let me tell you someone that I can... You want me to identify people that are not walking in spirit but walking in the flesh? When they don't get their way, they take their toys and go home. See, God's Word deals with that stuff. And then here's what happens. The Word of God begins to conform how you think. It'll begin to control how you feel. And then it'll conquer your will. And now all of a sudden your will come into the conformity of the Word of God. And that's what obedience is. And so this is what it's saying. The Word of God penetrates. It penetrates you through and through. It penetrates you all, each aspect of your life, it penetrates through. It deals with every aspect of your life. Well, notice the next thing, the probing of the Word. I love my doc. Y'all say amen. But I tell you something, I cannot stand about going to the doctor. Y'all say amen. You got to do it. I know that. But how many agree? There's probing that has to take place. Well, can I tell you, the Word of God probes. Now watch what it says here. The Word says, it divides us under the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow and is a discerner. A discerner. Now, what does that word discerner mean? Here's what it means. It's the Greek word where we get the word critic from. So guess what? The Word of God is your greatest critic. That's what the Greek word is. It's where we get the English word critic from. And so guess what? It's the Word of God that begins to probe what? Your thoughts and the intents of your heart. What does that mean? The very mindset, the motivations of your heart, the intentions of your heart, the inclinations of your heart, the desires of your heart. In other words, the Word of God begins to permeate and probe every little aspect of your life. Why did you do this? What was the motivation through which you did this? Did you do it for recognition or did you do it for the glory of God? Why are you going about doing it? Why didn't you do this when you should have done it? Why didn't you give yourself to this? Hey, I want to tell you something. The Word of God will probe everything. Everything becomes a mirror to every motivation and a mirror to every heart's inclination that you have. Now, let's go back to the context. What kept Israel from the land of Canaan? To the point that God had to destroy that first generation. Well, how many agree feelings got in the way? We can't do it. Walled cities, giants. Y'all remember that? Say amen. How many agree that wrong thinking got in the way? How many agree that in wrong thinking and feelings, their will began to conform to what they were thinking and how they were feeling. And so they rebelled against God and didn't trust God and didn't obey God. But at the same time they were doing that, what was God doing? He was taking them through a course for 40 years of showing them and reminding them how much he could be trusted. You say, what was he doing to do that? Well, I mean, manna by day. I mean, the manna that came from heaven, the soles of their shoes never wore out, the cloud by day, the fire by night. But what about this? You read the book of Deuteronomy. Read chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4. God didn't take them and just walk them around in a circle in the wilderness. He took them to specific lands, led them to specific lands. And here's what God said. He said, listen, look at that land. And he said, now, don't take that land. That's not your land. I gave it to. And he would name the enemy, the Amorites. And so what was God saying? He said, listen, here's a heathen people. You're enemy people. And he said, I, as God, sovereignly gave them this land. So it's not your land. Then he would take them to another one. He said, look at this land. He said, boy, this is a good land. He said, don't touch it. It's not your land. I gave it to them. So what was he doing? They were saying, listen, we can't do this. I mean, we just don't feel like we can accomplish this. And God's saying, really? All you got to do is trust me. Listen to my voice. What have I told you? Just as I gave the land to the Amorites, I gave the land to this group and this group and this group. I've already given you the land. Just listen. Just listen. You see, the Word probes your thoughts, your motivations. No wonder David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts. David understood that he needed the Lord to show him, reveal to him his heart and his thoughts. Well, lastly, in verse 12, the purifying of the Word. So if it is discerner, or if it is the critic of my thoughts and the intentions of my heart, why does God show me that stuff? So he can purify it. I'm sanctified through thy Word. Thy Word is what? Truth. So how many agree God wants to do a work of continuous, moment by moment, cleansing in your heart and in your life? Can I tell you, when a person convinces themselves that disobeying the Word of God is okay, here's what's happened. They've allowed themselves to be shut off from the living Word, actively trying to sanctify their thinking and their hearts. Listen to the words of Psalms. Psalm 119. Thy Word I hid where? What's the heart? Mind, motion, will. Same word for soul. Exact same word in the Old Testament for soul. My Word I have hid in my heart. Why? That I may not sin against God. See if this is true for your life. How many of y'all have had days in your Christian walk then when you went to bed that night, you just said, man, I just blew it today. I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint. I just absolutely blew it today. If you found this to be true in your life, when you have days where you're hurried through your quiet time or you don't have your quiet time, have you found that you're a little shorter in your temper? Have you found you find yourself worrying a little bit more than you normally do? Have you found that you are not as discerning of the things of God and the voice of God? Have you found that your desire begins to wane just a little bit? Why do you think that is? Because the Word, if it's hid in your heart, the Lord Jesus, the Logos made flesh, who now lives in you, the living Word, now He has access to you through the Word. And all of a sudden now you find victory over defeat. Because the Word does its work. Now, let me warn you something. Can I warn you something? And then we're going to go on. If you intently start giving yourself more and more to the Word, can I tell you what's going to happen? The gates of hell will be unleashed. You say, what do you mean? Oh, I promise you. You think your schedule got busy now? You wait. He'll put a bunch of stuff in your path. But here's the reality. I have to look at that from this standpoint. If the Word is life, the Word is living, the Word is active, the Word is perfect, the Word is penetrating, the Word is purifying, the Word is powerful, the Word is all of these things to me. And only when the Word of God is hid in my heart will I not sin against God. You have to ask yourself a question. All these things that I think I need to do today, what's the most important? Y'all with me? Say amen. I mean, listen, now, it's all relocated upon a desire, but understand it. All right, let's look at verse 13 real quick. All right, notice the accountability to divine revelation. Not only the attributes of divine revelation, but the accountability. He says, neither, because the Word is divinely inspired and divinely given, and the Word searches the heart, he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. What does that mean? It means the Word exposes because God knows everything. In other words, God's not using the Word to expose you to Himself. God don't need the Word to find out who you are. And God don't need the Word to find out what you're thinking or what your motivation is. But here's what it is. God takes the Word to expose us to ourselves because God already knows. In other words, you and I are naked before Him. I mean, listen, we try to hide this stuff. I mean, we do. We try to hide it. I mean, listen. I don't want people to know what's really going on in my life. I got news for you. God knows. I had this lady one time. She was a deacon's wife. She had this habit, and she didn't want anybody to know about this habit. I mean, listen. She would guard it with all outdoors. I mean, when she'd come to church, I bet you she ate a whole pack of certs. I mean, honestly. I saw her one time getting out the car. She was popping certs as fast as she could pop them. I mean, she kept a toothbrush and a toothpaste in her car, and she'd start brushing her tongue just so nobody'd sit smelling on her. Are y'all with me? Say amen. One day I went to visit her and her husband. I'll never forget it. I knocked on the door. She didn't know I was coming. I knocked on the door. Wait just a minute, I'll be right there. And I heard it. I mean, you could hear it. I mean, shh. I mean, she was spraying scent all over that house. See, our flesh, we think we can hide. Now, you can hide something from individuals. But I got news for you. God knows it all. you are absolutely, and I am absolutely exposed before the Lord. And that's why the word is precise. Because God takes the word to precisely target the areas that He knows about you and about me. Well, notice the second thing here in verse 13. The examination of man. Not only the exposure of man, the examination of man. He says, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him. Now, this word opens a unique word. I got to share this with you. It goes back to the culture of that day. When someone was on trial, okay, in the culture of that day, especially in Roman culture of that day, when someone was on trial, here's what would take place. They would take a dagger and they would strap it to the person that was on trial that was going to stand before the justice. They would strap it to his chest or to his neck, and the point would be right here. Now, when you get caught doing something and you're ashamed, what's the first thing you do? Here's the picture. They could not hide their face from justice. That's what this word open means. The picture is that of exposing the neck, to where you're always face to face with what God knows about you. Y'all got that? Say amen. I mean, this is what it's saying. It's saying, listen, that he exposes man, for he knows all man, and he examines man. But notice this, the expectation of man. Now here's where it gets fun. It says, with whom we have to do. Now, listen to this. When I found this, I about flipped out. I did. Sometimes you find these things, you go, wow, that's in the Word, wow. I mean, I enjoyed myself. Y'all say amen. You say, why'd you enjoy yourself? All right, notice this. All right, these words right here, have to do, those three last words. Y'all see those three last words, say amen? It's one Greek word. Can I tell you what the Greek word is? Logos. The same word he used for the word in verse 12. So what is it saying? It's saying the word examines, probes the intents of the heart. The word pierces your spirit and your soul, your mind, your motion, and your will. The word reveals to you what you need to see, and you stand before Him not being able to hide your face from the truth of what God knows about you. And here's the expectation of man, that when you stand before God, what are you going to be judged by? The word. The Logos, which you have to do, means which you're accountable to. John chapter 12, verse 47 and 48. If any man hear my words, Jesus said, and believe not, I judge him not. Now you say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus said all judgment was given to me. Oh, but go on. Listen to what it says. For I came not to judge the world, but from save the world. Aren't you glad for that? Say amen. But watch it. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my what? Words. Hath one that judge him. You say, who is it, preacher? Tell us. Who is it? Who's going to judge him? The word that I've spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. So here's the reality. The Logos, the Word, begins to pierce, begins to show, begins to reveal, begins to probe, begins to examine, begins to root out, begins to purify. But yet if we come in and we say no to the Word, then guess what? When I stand before the Lord, it's the Word that's going to stand as my judge. Hearken. That's what he said to Israel. To the voice of God. Lest a promise be left you, unless you miss out and you don't enter into His rest. Y'all love me? Say amen. So do you know now why I am so adamantly passionate about being under the Word? The Word. It's a liberty. Everything is a ministry. Everything is a church family. Everything that we give ourselves to needs to be centered in this. Not in man's way of thinking, not in what man thinks is right, but what God says. You see, I believe this about ministry. I believe every event or opportunity that you present before the people is to be presented before the people for one purpose and one purpose only. That by getting them the Word, the Lord could be glorified. So here's the question. Where's the Word in the pecking order of your day? Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you that it is sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you that it's perfect. It's precise. Thank you that it permeates, it penetrates through and through. Thank you that it purifies. And Father, thank you that when man stands before you, the Word that you enabled man to know by your Holy Spirit is the judge. Father, I hope tonight that maybe in some way you're working two things in our life tonight. Number one, a deeper appreciation for your Word. And a deeper hunger and desire for your Word. Father, I pray we all in this place would enjoy and experience the rest that is the manifested life of the Lord Jesus in the fullness of you, the Godhead. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you in Jesus' name. All God's children said,